We are the New Testament church rising up. Amen. I can see we are already rising up. It's not something in the future. We are in the middle of it right now. Amen. It's good to be in the church once again. And we are the masterpiece bride. Think about it. The final voice in this final age under our messenger, the church of the living God. Amen. The bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty army of the living and mighty God. You and I, we are part of it, part of the plan of God. Oh, glorious thought, amen. Praise be to God. That's where we are living. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads before you, Lord, this evening, our King and our Savior, our Redeemer, Father, we praise your name, we glorify your name, Father. We, as the song was just, Lord, singing, we are singing that song, Father. I thought of thinking about God and the plan of God, and Father, that those saints of the old, Father, the first age, and they were thinking that they were probably they would be part of the rapture, but oh God, but that promise is for us. No, now, God, we have come to the capstone, we have come to the top, we've come to the climax of what has been the plan of redemption, the New Testament church now coming to the full maturity. And we are part of it, Lord. We thank you for the grace. We did not make ourselves Christian. You made us our Christians. You made us Christians, Father. We just want to thank you for the grace in our life. We give you the glory and the honor, Father. You are still the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. The same Holy Ghost that fell at Pentecost, the Holy Ghost is here, released by the evening time message, Father, Lord, to do the same works, the same anointing, Father. Oh, what a tremendous time we are living in, Lord. We just want to yield ourselves more to you, Lord. May you forgive our sins or trespasses. May you take the full service, Father, Lord, as you are already here. We have been welcomed and we can feel your presence. May you, Father, be with us for the remainder of the service, Lord, as we commit ourselves to you. Thank you, Father, for speaking to our heart this morning. The church, Father, here that has been a great service, Father, speaking here, being with Brother Maxwell, being with our pastor. Lord, you are faithful, Lord. Wherever the people are gathered, Lord, wherever, Lord, two or three are gathered in your name, you are there, Lord. We give you the glory and the honor. We exalt you. We glorify your name. Let your name be praised as we surrender ourselves to you once again. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, Brother Jeff and the musicians for the song and the atmosphere. Thank you for everyone coming to the house of the Lord again this evening. And thank you for your prayers and service this morning. God also visited us and Brother Zig and sometime fellowship afterwards. And God has been faithful and good to us. Amen. Give him the glory and the honor. Thank you for your prayers. So sharing Brother Andrew there. It's good when the preacher is preaching and he's being preached as he's preaching. I like that, and God can just, whatever he's doing, even to the preacher, he's correcting him, he's edifying him, he's strengthening him, all part of the church, amen. Brother Barnabas will talk about the bride, but he was also part of the bride himself, amen. So we are all in it together. I invite you to go to the Word of God in Romans, the first chapter. I'll read a portion of it. I might refer to it later on. This is a small subject this evening. You had the main meal this morning. I will just give a dessert this evening. I won't be long, but just a thought that has been in my heart. And I was just struggling as I was tired. I said, should I preach the same message I preached this morning? So maybe I'll reserve the service of this morning for another time. I just share the thought that I have in my heart. Romans 1:19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. May God bless his word and can have a seat. So things have been so clearly seen, the invisible things are clearly seen, made visible of the world and understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power of God and his God and the Godhead, so that the people are left without any excuse. Then I'll go to Luke 14. Luke 14, 14, 16. It's the parable that we all know. Luke 14, verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and said his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. So there was all of them, but they agreed on one thing, and the thing they agreed all upon is to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. I think this one has a better reason from all of them. Therefore, I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the street and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which are bidden shall taste of my supper. The other part is not really part of the subject this evening, but I kind of wanted to just to read it as well, because it's kind of nice. And there went great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Doesn't mean actually that to hate in the sense that you hate them, but it's putting that in comparison that if you put them before me, or ahead of me, higher priority than me, then you cannot be my disciple. They say, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. May God bless his word. Amen. I'd like to talk this evening a little bit of an evangelical message for this evening. May God be gracious. Before I go into the subject, I'd like to talk about what does God think of our excuses that we present to him? What does God think of our excuses? Before I go into detail, I just want to give you a little bit of a story. Part of it is true. Part of it, I think, I've kind of made up, but it kind of gives the point. So one time we went to the U.S., then one preacher gave us that story. And it was true. It looks like he has experienced it himself. If not, then correct that. But for the way he was telling, it looked like it was a story. It was a true story. They said he was there maybe I told that before. He was there in a place where, in a jungle, in the middle of Africa, in the very middle of Africa there, in the jungle. There are some people, very, very primitive people back then. Maybe now they improve. But back then, they were very primitive people. And then, they live only in what they can get from the tree. And they're really, really primitive. Nothing. Sometimes they don't have clothes on. So they're really primitive. But he went there. He's giving the message. And he's giving the message. And so people are really, really, we study them on the book. They're really violent. And it's a little bit like the Amazon. They're violent and everything. So any instant they can kill you and things like that. Some of them can even eat cannibals, and so it's really primitive. So as he went there, he's preaching to them, like in this congregation, they're preaching, and they're attentive, they're listening, they're following what he's doing, what he's saying. Some of them, amen. Some of them believe, they were believers. As he was preaching, at some point, he heard, oh, and all of them, they're kind of awake. So it was the sheep, big sheep that is passing by. Everybody is awake. What's going on? He's preaching, doesn't understand. Going on, maybe not him, but another evangelist is preaching. Everybody's, Then one of them says, hey, it's the sheep. Then all of them, all of a sudden, everybody left the church. Whoa. So the preacher is there. Hey, what's going on? Hey, stay. No, they're gone. Whoa, different church. What happened actually, they explained to him, like, no. That sheep arrives only once a month. And they rely on what they have to sell. So when it arrives, whatever you are doing, you have to stop and go to the sheep. So he's like, oh, wow. Okay, for him it was very strange. Like, that's strange. I mean, we are in the church, the word of God, he has the high priority and everything. That's not an excuse. God will provide, and he's preaching in that sense. Okay. Now that's the part. That's where the end of the story. Remember? In their mind, that had that priority. And we understand. Now, one of them got converted. That's the other part now. One of them got converted, had the privilege to come. And he arrives here, and nice things. Oh, very thing. Everything is so nice. Wow. Everything is good, and everybody amazed by the thing. Are you following me? Amazed by how the Western countries are like, wow, we don't have that. We rely on primitive things. I'm really primitive. But as the church is going, it's preaching, and it's preaching. And at some point at the end of the service, the preacher, Brother Moses, is preaching. And I say, no, today it's going to be 30 minutes preaching because the weather is so nice. I have to allow you to go. Then the primitive, because of the sun, you are going out. When I had to go out for my sheep that arrived, you rebuked me that I have to be in the church and stay there. Now just a little bit of sand that is out, you are going. One excuse for one is not necessarily an excuse for the other one. So that's my point. Did you get the point? So, what does God think about our excuses? As you are looking at this scene, this is the message of the hour. It corresponds exactly to the situation of our time. But no matter the story, I'll let you go out a little bit early. It corresponds to the situation of our time. The marriage of the bride and the bridegroom is happening right now, and we are going to the wedding supper. So this story of the parable, it applies to our time, to a time that we are living in, then to any other church ages. So as any reader could read that story, maybe they were in the, all through the, in the church ages, they read that story, they preached about it. But today, that story has more meaning than in any other church age because we are living exactly at a time where the calling to go into the supper. Because we are the last church, the last church age, living the last church age of Laodicea. We are the bride in the bright age for us. We have believed in the message. But the world and the church world is going through the last age of the Laodicea, and it's receiving and has received this last call. The prophet will say in El Shaddai, says, every preparation is made, healing is already atoned for, sins are already atoned for, all things are ready, come. That's right, the wedding supper is set, excuses are made, but he said, go into, the last call was go, get the sick and a halt and a campaign of healing just before the wedding supper. That's why we see the ministry of Brother Branham, it had to start with the campaign, he had to start with the campaign for the healing. I believe it was the last call for the denominational church. Because at that time, it was still open to him to go to those denominational churches. And yet, there God has given that gift to be a bait or to be a lure, to be something that will attract their attention. But it is the message that is calling the bride. For the church, they were there, it was the campaign that where they could still invite him. But after his message or his ministry transitioned to another phase or the third pool, they rejected him completely. They didn't want to have anything with him. So they received the last call to them because it was during that call that he had the opportunity to speak to a message to him. So he's saying here, says, go get the lame, the halt, the blind out of the street and highways and hedges and bring them in. Heal them and let me show my mercy to them. Then they will believe me. That's right. That's God's last call. Super call is healing. The last call. Amen. Then he says in the church ages, and I'll read that a little bit long, lengthy. I'll read a little bit of Brother Branham quotes this evening, but I hope it's fine with you. Revelation 3:22 says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is the last warning. There will not be another. The throne room has been set up. The 12 foundations have been laid. The streets of gold have been paved. The gates of gigantic pearls are raised and hinged. Like a pyramid, she stands so fair and glorious. The heavenly beings who have prepared their watch breathlessly, for she glistens and shines with a glory that is unworthy every facet. So he's saying about how it's so prepared. Then he goes on and says, yes, it's the last call. The Spirit will not speak in another age. The ages are over. Oh, but thank God, at this moment, this age is not over. He is yet crying, and his cry is not only in the spiritual ears of man by spirit, but once again, a prophet is in the land. As the prophet was speaking there, the prophet was in the land. But we know that the prophet, God could speak, spoke the prophet. There was one time when God spoke his last message to the prophet. Sometimes when I read the last messages of prophet, then I'm just thinking, oh God, this is the last time that God has used his mouth of the prophet to speak to the age. And he won't speak to a prophet anymore. Wow. Let me go ahead here. It says, is yet crying, his cry is not only Read that. But once again, a prophet in the land. Once more, God will reveal the truth as he did to Paul in the days of the seventh messenger, in the days of Laodicea age. Its messenger will reveal the mysteries of God as revealed to Paul. He will speak out, and those who receive the prophet in his own name will receive the beneficent effect of that prophet's ministry. They that hear him will be blessed and become part of that bride of the last days who are mentioned in Revelation 21, 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say the same thing. Amen. What the prophet said, what the Spirit said, the prophet said, now the bride is saying the same thing. So that's why I just want to see, draw the attention that it's the last call for the bride. It is the message of the hour. There won't be any other prophetic message coming directly from the prophet. The communion was his last one, but it is the time to apply the token right now. But as the message went on, people had their own excuses. And it is the way it is today. It says, in another message, says, but as soon as the invitation was given out, then the excuses was made. Oh, yes, one married a wife. The other one bought some oxen. You know the story. That's the way it is today. That's the way it still is today. God made the supper ready, sent the preacher to preach the faith. What happened? Oh, I can't go because I'm a deacon in another church. I just couldn't do that. Well, I couldn't go because I would lower my prestige. All these are just excuses. And we are full of excuses. Christians and non-Christians are full of excuses. And I'm afraid sometimes we think that those excuses have value in front of God. But unfortunately, they have no value at all. Your prestige, oh, I couldn't go because I don't believe them hold holy horror that acting like that. I'm going to live my life. The excuse was made, and it's so straight. I wouldn't want to do that. Excuse and say, well, I'm so tired when I come in at night. I can't go to church. I'm so tired. I can't go to church. I'm so tired. I can't read the Bible. I'm so tired. I can't pray. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Lord, I'm so tired. Lord, I'm so tired. Can't you see that I'm tired? Does that excuse really have any value in front of God? I'm afraid not. Say that excuse today. I'm afraid that husband wouldn't like it. I'm afraid my wife will kick me out of the house. The prophet says, she ought to, if that's the kind of man you are. Means that excuse has no value. That's right. There you are. Excuses made. Many of them we could name excuses. Now, the servant come back and say, Lord, that was done from Luther on down to Wesley age, all kinds of excuses made. Well, we got other things to do. But then, when the servant come back and said, I done all this and they got all excuses, watch what he said the preacher now. Supper is already fixed. Amen. It's already past the time. I'll say the bridegroom is ready, but the bride is not ready yet. Why? Because she has plenty of excuses. Plenty of excuses. Different excuses. But our excuses that we are giving to God today, God is not surprised of those excuses. You have heard them before. Oh, he's used to those excuses. I've heard them. I've gone through the ages. There's been excuses over excuses. May God help us to change our mind about the excuses. And some of them are sound valid. Like I said, the other one sound valid. It is. It's kind of a normal thing now that if you are married, you have to go and there is no church for you. I'm sorry, no. There is church for you. The devil doesn't give you time to rest when you are married. So, okay, they're on honeymoon. Now I'm giving them time to rest. No. If there is a church, go to church. On my honeymoon, I went to church. I'm not saying I'm more righteous than others, but if there is a time, if there is a purpose, you made effort, you go to church. You read the Bible, you pray. There is no time. There is no vacation for the devil. There's no vacations for us either. Amen? I work so hard. God understands that I work so hard. I work night shift. So Sunday, it's okay. Let me rest. Let me sleep. No. No, come to church. Make an effort. Make a sacrifice. You just want... Oh, I'm talking to myself maybe. You're on call? I mean, now I'm on call, actually. You know, I have to bring up my server, but that's one of the reasons I have to leave early. So. It's an excuse that... Why did I reveal that to you? Okay. But may God be merciful. Hopefully the server stays like that. You want to give him, I want to give the supper call now. Leave them alone. They won't come anyhow. Another message God provided where he says, I'm thinking about what that day when it's all over and the wedding supper is set and we sat down across the table from one another. I said, if I'm blessed by the Lord to get there, I'll look over and I'll say, I met you at Pisgah, didn't I? When we meet one another on the other side and talk about the times that when we come together like this to take instructions on how to go out and to win souls and look down along that long line, Papa and Mama and all of them present, if that won't that be a wonderful time, that wedding supper? In other words, what will our excuses be compared to what we are going to have on the other side? What will our excuses be? What will the sacrifice, the little sacrifice that we make sometimes here, be compared to the great glory of God that is going to be revealed in front of us? Nothing can be compared to that. But it says, he'll reach across the table and says, I'm sure our little tear will run down our cheeks for appreciation of God's grace getting up there. Then the king will come out and wipe all tears and as many times said from our eyes, say, don't cry no more. Then days are finished now. Enter into the joys of the Lord that's been prepared for you since the foundation of the world. And we all want to be there. And we want all that we get to be there because it's urgent. The time is past and we're waiting for his coming. Did you know what he said when he sent forth the first group? And he goes on there and says, they were invited to that. In the Orient, that was to be a wedding taking place. The king set a time for his son's wedding, and it was the son's duty to give out the invitation. No one could come to that supper without an invitation. I don't believe that there has ever been a man or woman that ever walked into a church and come into the presence of God without they were given an invitation to this supper. So even this evening, the invitation to the supper is being still handed out. What are you going to do with that invitation? What are you going to do with the invitation that God is giving you to be his disciple? Now, you can take it or you can turn it down. It's up to you. Some people go to church year after year, day after day, revival after revival, and still will not accept that invitation. They don't mean to turn it down, but they just neglect doing it. Oh, did you notice one had something to do? I've bought a piece of ground. The other had bought some ox and he must try them. Not like he wouldn't try the ox before he bought them. You see, it's just an excuse. He says, oh, I know that all ministers and so forth, businessmen and truck works and so forth, all you will find those things. People's got excuses. I've just got to stay home tonight. I can't attend the revival. Just remember, God said they'll do that. They are turning down their invitation. Now look at it again. One he did, his wife wouldn't let him come. Oh, that's another excuse. There should be nothing stand between us and that invitation. That's my message this evening. There should not, nothing be standing between us and the invitation of God. If it costs a yoke of ox or your business or your wife or your children or anything, nothing should separate us from that invitation. Because that invitation is urgent, amen. The message is urgent. God has called you to his harvest field or to do something for him. There should be nothing stand between you and God. It must come first. The invitation is given out, amen. One time my brother was saying, some people have, I was sharing this thought, and he was saying, some people even are planning when they say, you know what, I'm going to church, I'm planning that on Wednesday I'm going to be tired. I'm not going to church back up because I'm going to be tired. How can you know that you are going to be tired on Wednesday? And you plan to do things on Wednesday because you are going to be tired. Oh, there is a prayer meeting. No, I'm going to be tired on Wednesday, on Tuesday. How do you know on Saturday that on Tuesday you are going to be tired? Because in your mind you already made an excuse. I have already prayed up. I already prepared. I already know it's an excuse for me, and God will understand. The excuses have no value in front of God. The Queen of Sheba will judge this generation not because she was more righteous than this generation. The Queen of Sheba, she will, because she was a heathen. The Queen of Sheba, she will judge this generation because this generation has many excuses. This generation has many excuses. Oh, the bench are too hard. I can't stay there for 30 more minutes. It's too hard. We need new benches, so I'm not going to church. No. Oh, it's too cold. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, different excuses. But she had to travel for 3 months or more upon on the back of a camel in the very hot desert during the day, in a very cold desert during the night, in order to go and meet Solomon. And here there is more than Solomon. More than Solomon is here. More than Solomon is here with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is here. So we have no excuse. Prophet says, in your life worthy of the gospel. When God sent Noah, his servant, and made a way of an escape for all the people who wanted to be saved, but the people only laughed and scorned at Noah, but God made the way, but they had an excuse. It wasn't according to their modern thinking. It wasn't the way they wanted it. They made excuses in the days of Noah. They made excuses in the days of Moses. They made excuses in the days of Elijah. They made excuses in the days of Christ. They make excuses today. That's why I'm saying God is not surprised by excuses. He has heard them many times. He's even tired of hearing them. Because look at this one. He thinks that really, you know what? My chicken doesn't want to go in the yard, so I'm staying at home. Okay? They made excuses in the days of Elijah. Now, himself speaking directly to Israel, the one that was called to the feast that would also apply today to man, the church, who has been bidden to come to the feast and won't do it, the spiritual feast of the Lord. They don't want to do it. They've got other things to do. They find excuses. Now, if Israel 2,000 years ago would accept the invitation that they were given, they wouldn't be as they are today. But 2,000 years ago, Israel turned down the invitation to come to the wedding supper. They turned it down and went into judgment. But as Jesus said, they stoned and killed the prophet that was sent to them. By making excuses now, the excuses, they made it every day. Aaron had to make an excuse when he built the idol. Oh, you know what? They put pressure on me. That's why I'm doing this. Excuses. You did it because you didn't have enough strength to do it. The children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea had excuses before going to the promised land because of the giant. We see so many big giants we cannot overcome. God is just looking at them. Excuses. These are excuses. I gave you my word. With my word you shall prevail. It's me who rescued you from Egypt. Now today you are saying that the giant, because of the giant, you can't go into. Those are just excuses. And you think I'm going to value you for those excuses? They're just excuses. Anything that doesn't conform with the word of God is an excuse and has no value in front of God. God is looking for those who can take him at his word. God, I want to take you at your word. Now, going to our level now. Why can't you forgive? Because this person has done this to me so bad. Look what they've done to me. They've done this to me. They've done this to me. They've taken my money. They've done this to me. I lost my job because of them. You know, they've done. Oh, that's why you don't want to forgive. No, I will never, never, never forgive you. Oh, okay. You are going to rapture. Hallelujah! I'm going to rapture. You have an excuse in your back like that? Let it go. Let it go. Go ahead. Let it go. Don't try to find an excuse to try to justify anything that is not according to the word of God. If it's not according to the word of God, it's just an excuse. An excuse has no value in front of God. Have you ever thought why you are always late to church? If you think about this, just excuses. My child, this at last minute, only the last minute. Oh, I like to sleep in the afternoon so long after the first service. So give me my time to sleep because I'm too tired. Okay. Wednesday, why are you late? Okay, because okay. Good reason, but it's just an excuse. What do you think God think about your excuse? Do you think God, do you think that you can give that God, you know what? I present my token with an excuse. Just an excuse. Have you ever thought why you don't read the Bible? I'm too busy. Too busy. Just an excuse. Why don't you pray? I don't find time to pray. I'm too busy. Oh, excuse. I've already mentioned. Why you don't come to prayer meeting? Oh, excuse. Why you miss church on Sundays? I work. Don't you understand? I work on Sunday. I have a second job. I have to pay bills, you know. Don't you understand that? Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes I think like what Pastor Ed preached about the other pastor. One of his sheep came back. Pastor, you know what? I'm losing my job. Pray for me. I've not been coming to church, but I'm losing this job, Pastor. Okay, I'm praying for you. The pastor looked at him. God, send more trials on this brother. Let him lose his job. God, strengthen this brother and let him go to this trial. And then the pastor turns around, Lord, more trials. Let that trial continue. Because just an excuse. Why don't you want to go to that church? Why don't you want to church? I have been offended by someone there. They don't greet me. So I'm not going there. I'm just streaming them. I see them from far. Okay. Excuse. Why you don't fellowship with the other one? Oh, because they talk bad about me. They criticize me. So people criticize me. I don't talk back to them. Okay? Which coat? No coat. Just okay. Excuse. God, take away all the excuses, Lord. Let your word be applied to my heart. Give me the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has no excuses, amen. I want your life. I want the purity of your life, amen. You know, I was sharing with my wife, and one time she said, you know what, this brother did this. Now he's asking for your help again. Are you going to do it? I said, what can I do? I'm a Christian. I can't help it. If I don't do it, I will feel so bad. I just have to do it. I mean, what can I do? I mean, yeah, I feel like... Oh, yeah, I don't want to see that at the pulpit. But I just have to do it. If I don't do it, I don't know how I'm going to pray to my Father. But, okay. You know my humanity a little bit, but one time Saul, John 15:20-23, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no clock for their sin. They have no excuse for their sin. He that hath of me hath of my Father also. In other words, God doesn't condemn the sinner for being a sinner. He condemns the sinner by rejecting the remedy. That's why God condemned him. He's not condemned because you make mistakes. He condemns you because you reject the remedy. Amen. John 9:40-41 says, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remember. Do you want deliverance? There is a remedy for that. Do you want salvation? There is a remedy for that. Do you want whatever you need? God has provided a way for it. One time Saul wanted to use an excuse. You know, oh, that's so lengthy if I have to read it. But in 1 Samuel 15:8-31, God told him, you go and take Agag, the king of the Amalekite, and kill him and kill everything, destroy everything. Don't leave anything around. He went there and he saw, I will take the king Agag and try to ridicule him with the people and show him, and I will take all the fat oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all the goods. I'll bring that to Israel. I'll make my people become rich. And he's trying to create his own excuses. And the prophet came and rebuked him. So, what have you done? Have you obeyed the word of God? Yes, I have obeyed the word. I've killed all the males. I've done according to your word. But what is the noise that I can hear coming there? Those we took them for sacrifices. But is that the word of God? No, but we want to make more sacrifice to our Lord. If it's not according to the word of God, it's just an excuse, Saul. Hey, Saul. The prophet looked at him. It's better to obey God than sacrifices. Obedience is greater and more valued than sacrifices. Obedience is more valued than any kind of excuses we can try to present to God. First Samuel 13:10-14. They asked Saul, wait for me, Samuel. Wait for me until I come. Then we're going to do the sacrifice. Therefore, 12, Saul giving a justification. The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, so I have not made supplication. So I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established my kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord had sought him a man after his own heart. The Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And what was the quality that God saw in David? If he makes a mistake, he will repent. If you make a mistake, don't find excuses. I'm sorry. I messed it up. Is it the correct word? Yeah? Reaction. I messed it up. Yeah. I messed it up. I'm sorry. I'll try not to do that again. Not trying to find excuses. Lord, I'm struggling with these things. Help me, Lord. Forgive me. Deliver me. I want remedy. I'm not trying to find excuses for that. Oh, this is the way I was brought up. This is the way. This is my characteristic. No, those are just excuses. Lord, deliver me from this. I hate these things. I don't want these things. I want to serve you. I want to be delivered. Remember that mad person who came to the prophet and came and brought, and when he fell, and then look, it just comes to my mind now. And then the policeman asked the prophet, yes, he's laying down there and almost unconscious. Do you think he's delivered? No. He worships that spirit. How does he worship that spirit? He makes excuses out of it. Oh, that this. No. I don't want it. You have to, I don't want it. I need deliverance. That's how God can deliver you and help you. Prophet says in the rejected king, that wasn't going to stay and listen to that holy roller preacher. They claim to be Pentecost. When I got up there and the Sunday school teacher comes out and, good morning, Reverend Bradham, and the red staff on the face and his black pencil over their eyes and dressed up so sexy like they said, well, now wait a minute, Brother Bradham, that's the only kind of clothes you can buy. They still give them, actually they use an excuse, that's the only kind of clothes they can buy. They still sell goods and sewing machines, so there's not a bit of excuse for you. That's right. If you are led by the Holy Spirit, straighten up. They don't want the Holy Spirit to judge them. They don't want it. There's no excuses. God won't listen to your excuses. Oh, God will not listen to your excuses. He wouldn't listen to Saul's excuses. He won't listen to you. You've got to compare with what the Bible said. What it is the things that you have to do in your life, what it is the things that you are, the grudge you are keeping in your heart, what it is, whatever it is, there is no excuses. God won't listen to any excuse. Only his word. But I'm saying, Lord, I preach, they just dress the same way. They still do the same thing they always did. Preach it anyhow, just keep moving on. Your voice is taped. At that day of judgment, they won't have no excuses then, because they have heard it. That's right. You have heard it. Prophet says, in perfect strength by perfect weakness. There's so many of us likes to justify or likes to think that we are insufficient, and therefore we make that an excuse. I have no education. I have no ability. I'm unable to do this. And if you keep that up and do that in that way, keep going like that, then you can't amount to anything. But the very thing that we make excuses by our weaknesses, God uses that very thing to tackle the job with. Wow. Our weakness that we use for weaknesses, for a weakness that we use as an excuse, God can use that weakness to help us do the work. Why? Because you want to take all the glory. But we need to have the right attitude. We have to recognize that this is my weakness. I can't do it on my own. But if you use me by your grace, we can overcome that weakness. And you, God, you are going to take the glory. He says, now, he waits for us to get to that condition so that he can use us. We take the excuses and say, well, I can't do this. I'm insufficient. I can't do this. And God takes that very thing to do the job with. That's true. That's the reason why he chooses us, because we are in that condition. Now, that sounds strange. Just a few minutes, we'll get to the reason of it. If God being willing, we find out that we have just been reading that weaknesses and rejection. We find that those people who are in the weakest and they're rejected by the outside world is God's heroes that conquer up the front line, takes those who are or feel themselves unworthy. How they became the heroes of faith? Because they were unworthy, because they were weak in their own flesh, in their own abilities, but they trusted in God. They had to take God at his word. And God changed their weaknesses to show that he's the one doing the work. You look at the life of Moses, or the experience of Moses. Moses, Exodus 4, 10-14. Moses said unto the Lord, oh my God, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Who hath made the dumb and the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee with thou what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he see thee, he will be glad in his heart. Moses came to the point where he started using his weaknesses to say, God, I cannot do what you're asking me to do. I have this, I cannot speak properly, and this, I'm afraid, and all the different reasons he can give. God looked at him, God didn't look at him and say, oh, you know, oh, Moses, I feel sorry for you. Oh, this is what you are going through? Oh, pity Moses. Brother Branham said, did God feel sorry for Moses with all his weaknesses? Said, poor little Moses, something sure has happened to you. You fell from your degree. Oh, my, hey. You was a very great man, intellectual, and there wasn't nothing going to stop you. Brother, you had all your PhD and LAD and everything else. Now, here you come confessing that you are nothing. You can't do it a thing. You're just so weak. No. God wasn't sorry for him. God never took pity on him. God had him cured them of all that stuff. He wasn't sorry for him. Let me tell you, God is not sorry for many of our excuses. Actually, we see great and we hear great testimonies of people. They become testimonies. Why? Because it was not understandable that God, it could happen like that. You see, come to my mind, Brother Dan was going through the story that when he didn't have a job, but he was faithful to church and other things and paying his tithes. And that's a testimony that stays with your heart, my heart, and most of us for a long time. Why? Because during that trial, you do something unexpected, right? You do something that is contrary. You're trying to save, but you're again giving to God because that's God's word. Then that becomes a testimony. Amen. He could use many excuses back then. We wouldn't have the same testimony. But because he stayed and took God at his word, then it became a testimony. Is that principle clear this evening? I'm just wondering. We should not use our excuses to justify anything that's against the word of God. God never took pity on him. God had him cured them, all of that stuff. He wasn't sorry for him. But we found that if you are putting it down, Exodus 4:14, the anger of God was kindled against him. God wasn't sorry for him because he was weak. You say, oh, Lord, I just feel so bad. I don't believe I could do it. God doesn't feel sorry for you. He feels like kicking you around a little bit. That's what I was talking about. Why you can't take my word? Why you can't believe in me? Why can't apply the talk? Why you can't believe it? I'm putting in the language, human language, right? God is not feeling sorry. Like, no. Speak the word. Why cry? Speak the word. Oh, the doctor has given me back. No, that's all. I'm just going to complain. Everybody's, no one loves me. Oh. Maybe a kick will solve the problem there. May God help us, Lord. Help me to take you at your word, Lord. I don't understand what I'm going through. It's hard, but Lord, I'm taking you at your word. I believe your word, Lord Jesus Christ. You are still the healer. You are still the Savior. You are still the God of the omnipotent God, the God of miracles, the God who can do the things against any order. Nothing is impossible to you. I believe in your word. That's what God is looking for. It Sure, God doesn't feel sorry for you. He gets angry with you. He's just getting in shape then to where he can use you. Moses getting cured up, God could use him. He had the cure. He was away from human abilities then. He didn't have nothing. He could rely upon them. Then he was ready then for the service. Amen. God is able, he will keep his word. When God stood at his word, the secret is take him at his word. If you believe it, every man that ever amounted to anything is being people who has taken God at his word. Do you believe that? And it says, Moses back then, one time, he could have ever gone down and make an invasion in Egypt. It was standing down in the desert and he said, oh Lord, I'm a slow speech and gave all this, and he had an impediment. He said, I can't speak. He began to make all these kind of excuses. He said, wasn't that funny, God looking inside that man? Man taking, but at the end, it was man taking God at his word, an old man, 80 years old. What was it? It was a man invasion, one man invasion. Because why? Because it was a man who took God at his word. Jeremiah used the same excuses. Said that when the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah 1:4, said, and before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, oh Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and for whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Don't say that I cannot overcome. Don't say that this thing is too much for you. Yes, it's too much for you, but God is more than a conqueror. If God has already ordained you to do certain work, he will make you do that work. Just don't rely on yourself. Rely on what God has called you, what God has made you as a Christian. Can't you believe and trust in what God has made you by making you a Christian? Yes, you can. Says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth, and said, I say this day, say thee over the nations, or over the kingdom, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. The reason why I'm saying what I'm saying is that we don't need to live by excuses. But God has made it available for us to live by faith. We cannot entertain a bad habit because we grew up with it, but the Holy Ghost can change us. You can't worship the evil spirit of lust, of temper, of gossiping because you grew up in those things and they have left a scar upon you. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is here to change you. You can't use an excuse of the genes of the family and the things that happen in your family to justify what you are. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is here to change us. We believe in the power of the blood. We believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. It still can change us, not even to make us to conform to certain things, but it will transform us from the inside out. Amen. If we can't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, if we can't believe in the power of the transforming power of the Word of God, then maybe it's better to go and see a psychologist and help us to change our mind and positive thinking. But we, although they have their place, but let me, as a preacher here, I want to emphasize on the importance of the Word of God. But I believe that the Word of God has the power to change. The Word of God has the power to transform. The Word of God has power to change situations. Amen. Why I can't respect my husband? Because he's not a believer, you know. He just pretends, you know. So I'm also showing up that, you know, I have to behave also this way, you know. But Abraham says, if the husband can't himself live that way, so I'm. That's just an excuse. Be a Christian. Oh, my wife, I can't love my wife. You know, she doesn't know how to cook. Okay. Just an excuse. And through that, by the scattering of your light, Brother Branham says, I was talking on the power of prayer, power of speech, power of the holy life. Amen. This is one of my favorite quotes. I know that I've repeated so many times, but it's one of my favorite quotes. That's what the Holy Ghost is to do. Brother Duke, I used to preach that quote many times when I was a young boy. That's why I like it so much. Because it's a struggling with a young boy. Oh God, I can't do that. He says, yeah, I know you can't do it, but the Holy Ghost can. So there's always stuck with me, and then I can't do that, but the Holy Ghost can. The Holy Ghost can. The Holy Ghost can. The Holy Ghost can. Oh, praise be to God. It's still the same here today. It can still change. It's still changing. The Holy Ghost, you can't do it. I know you can't do it, but the Holy Ghost can. That's all the Holy Ghost is to do. Some of you people walking along saying, well, I just can't quit drinking. I just can't quit this. The Holy Ghost comes to live in you, to make all these can't get away from you. That's right. Make women stop cutting their hair. Make them quit wearing shorts and slacks. No excuses. Oh, it's hot now. It's going to get hot. You know, let me put some slacks and let me show my legs and everything. So that excuses. Let's have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will change. Oh, let me put a little bit here and there and show my. Let the Holy Ghost be inside of you and will correct you and make you dress properly. No excuses. Make them quit tattling. Oh, yes, that's what it's for, to make you a holy life. It will follow the instructions of the Bible every time. A woman say, it's just too hot. I just have to wear this. Give me a headache if I let my hair grow. But there is no excuses with the Holy Ghost. Oh, are you a Christian? Are you born again? If you are born again, there is no excuses with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't accept excuses. Because if you accept excuses, if you give the Holy Ghost excuses to the Holy Ghost, and actually you are telling the Holy Ghost, you know, you can't do it. You are defying the power of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost can do it, and is still doing it. If there are to be... It's there to make it so. It follows the words just exactly. So that's why the Holy Ghost is to do. It's to make you, man, turn your head from them half-naked women and quit lusting after them and a church member. Young people, the Holy Ghost will turn you, switch off that website. Oh, I can't do it. No, I feel so weak. No, I can't just to watch. And I feel so lame when I'm watching hypnotized. Excuses. The Holy Ghost will make you turn that down. That's what to do. It's to quit making you smoke and drink. Want to be a big shot? It will take you out of it. It will humble you when you do that. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. It's for a holy life. That's right. Make you quit gossiping. Make you quit playing cards. Speak this morning. This brother says, no, message believer, without... the television, sometimes we have found our own entertainment, gossiping. Did you hear that? Oh. And they don't even pray, but gossiping. They want to be the first one to put something on chat, WhatsApp. The first one. Oh. Excuses. Make you quit playing cards, shooting craps, and all these other things that you do around the corner. It will make you quit carrying on the ways you're doing, living untrue to your wife. That's what it will do. That's right. It will quit making you want to marry somebody as wife. That's exactly right. That's what it is. It will make you live a holy life. That's what the Holy Ghost is powerful. To set your affection on things above where God stands, the mind of Christ is in you. You can't help from seeing those things when you look at them, you turn your head. That's right. It's to make you say, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Sure, you cannot do that. But the Holy Spirit comes for that purpose. That's what it is. It comes to take it out of you, all of them, old habits and things that they are doing, the whole backbiting, separating yourself, saying, bless God, I'm a Methodist, or bless God, I'm a message believer, my pastor is Brother Ed, you know, everything's fine, we have good ministers, we have good preachers there, you know, we rotate upon those preachers, very good church and everything, and they just rely on that. No, you apply the token, you live a holy life, you live a sanctified life. You be as serious with the word of God. You focus on your life, your own personal life. Don't look there, look around being having a gossiping spirit. Be there for your own life. The message is there for you, not for others, for you. It's a personal call to you. I don't know why I'm there, but... Bless God, I'm Methodist. I don't have nothing to do with them. Holy, the Holy Ghost come to take that out of you. I'm a Baptist. I'm a preacher. I wouldn't go to that little old holy roller band. The Holy Ghost come to take all that starch out of you. That's what it did. It washes you in the blood. Irons you out. Irons you out. That's what it come to do. It come to straighten you up. He said, make the crooked places straight. That's what he came to do. Straighten up. Make the high places low. Make all the mountains low look like they are dancing like little rams and all the leaves are clapping their hands to you. He said, the birds sing different. Joy bells ringing. There is no excuses. That's what it came to do. That's the purpose of God sending the Holy Ghost. So you will do these things. You will do. Walk after him. Not I don't want to hurt you, but I told you that I'm here with the deepest of sincerity to keep from pinching you once in a while. I'd jump off on a line somewhere and staying with the truth. Stay there and making it such a way it won't pinch you hard. But I want to tell you something. If the Bible says that it's wrong for a woman to cut her hair and you say you got the Holy Ghost and then cut your hair, I wonder if you have. Don't get mad. If it does, that still shows there is another mark against you. I will be closing with this in a little bit. If you are taking pleasure in some excuses, I don't want to Christianize you, but I want to challenge you. It's because the love of God is not there at the level where it should be. Once you love God, you realize that those excuses are not there anymore. That's too far. That's too far, Saskatchewan. No. Be in love one time. Brother John? Be in love one time. It's short distance. Wow. Every weekend is there. Bado Maxwell, who's not in love, it's so far and boring. That's true. Once you get in love with God, the things you should find excuses all here, the now they're just automatic. Oh, I love him so much. He's real. He's my Lord. He's my King. I want to be in church. I want to listen to the tapes. I want to pray. I want to sing songs. Oh, he is my love. He's my all, you know. Where would I be without him? Why did I spend so much time without him? Oh, let me just a little bit be like in the sense of Brother John. Where was I without Hannah? Where? All this time, how was I even living? You can't separate them. It's true. It becomes so real. Oh, he can't revert back. It's impossible. I'm going to die if she's not there. But you were living before, no? I don't know how I was living. The same thing for a Christian life. Once you find him, I don't know how I was living. I was not living. Now I'm living. Now I know him. Now I have a reason to live. Now he's my Savior. Now I have a reason to live because I found the most precious treasure. My Lord, my King, my message. Oh, God, give me that love. More of that love. More. It's one of my favorite prayers. Sometimes when I don't know what words to say, I just say, Lord, cause me to love you more. Amen. That's my shortest prayer when I'm tired and everything. Cause me to love you more, Lord. That's all I can say. Because if I love you, I will do things without problem. I know the power of love. I know what I've been doing when I was in courtship. I did things I didn't know that it was in me I could do those things. Where did that come from? It was there, but dormant. The same thing, God, if I cause me to love you, I'll do things that impossible. I thought it was impossible, but if I love you, I'll do it. Sometimes we complain about different things. Why this? Why this? Why this? Why this? God is asking in return, did you take my toxin? No, the toxin is too bitter. I just want to solve the problem. This. No, take the toxin. Take the Holy Ghost. Take the love of God. Take that. You'll see the other things will be solved out by themselves. Musicians can come. You see a little bit, what does God think about our excuses? Oh God, give me more of your love. I will have less and less excuses when it comes to apply the word of God. And that's what I want. That's what I want. We make mistakes. We will make mistakes. But God's grace is there. It's good to see Brother Luke over there. God bless you. Thank you. Where would I be?
I wrote that down.
You wrote that down.
I wrote that down.
Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see.
Jesus, what can wash my sins away? Change the order a little bit.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh,
will never lose its power, and it's still working. Amen. The Holy Ghost will subject this body to the Word of God. Amen. Brother Philip, I wanted to invite you to pray for us today. Can you make it? Oh, yeah, then I will sing. Okay, let's sing one chorus and I'll invite Brother Philip.
Oh, precious is the Lord. Lord, we're sorry, Lord, for the excuses that we've had, Lord, and the different things that, Lord, we've made up, Lord, that are nothing, Lord, and we just pray that now you'd remove those things from us, Lord. Help us just to come back to your word, Lord, come back to you and lay down all the excuses, all the things that we've had, Lord, before us. And Lord, we know that you will help us and you will be the Holy Ghost in us that will help us to overcome every excuse and everything that would be between us and you, Lord, we pray. We just pray that you be with each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for the word that we heard tonight. Just pray that you'd help us to live it and to walk in it, Lord, and just be living epistles, Lord, the written word, Lord, and living, Lord, in our lives, Lord. We just pray that you'd go with each vessel here tonight, Lord. Just pray that you'd be with each one, be with each need, we pray. We ask this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. Bless you. Brother Jeff, do you have another song you can sing? And then if you have
more.
Yeah. Lord, I want to know you more. Deep within my heart, soul, I want to know. I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you.
God bless you.